You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI.
Hi, it's off the Governor's Club in fabulous Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's the Taxi Stand Hour. I'm your host, Ed Van Ness. It is July 17th, 2017. Joining me tonight, Joe Smith, owner, operator, owner extraordinaire in the Yellow Cab Fleet here in Broward County. Join the conversation, 720-820-1203. 720-820-1203. Joe, good evening and welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Don't worry about that. He's looking at my computer. He's looking all around like a kid in a candy store here. How you doing tonight, Joe?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
On vacation.
Yeah. Oh, you're officially on vacation?
Yeah, I have been.
Then what's the thing in the with the yellow stripes outside my house?
My transportation for the night.
I see.
It's actually my brother's shift, but he's out to dinner with his girlfriend.
So, what's going on?
Hanging out, being cool.
All right, Joe. Joe, let's talk a little about you. Let's let the folks get a little involved in you. Now, Joe happens to own his permit, or as folks in some parts of the planet call it, a medallion. Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? How long have you owned that permit?
Over 15 years. Been driving a cab for more than 20 years. Won the permit in the lottery when they added permits to the system.
Was that big lottery some years ago when?
No, mine when was actually that was during a census year when they did 80 permits or so.
That's the big
all
year.
In 1 year.
That was the big year.
Now a few years before that, they did the first lottery with a 50-50 division of driver only and general lottery. And I was one of, I think, seven driver only permits put out in that lottery designated for drivers only.
Excellent. Now explain to the fine folks out there what the difference is of you owning your own permit as opposed to,
well,
say the way I used to operate.
Prior to that, I would... I entered the business leasing other people's permits as part of my weekly contract. So at current rates, or that would be about $100 a week. So instead of leasing somebody else's permit for $100 a week, I now own my permit, which had an initial cost, but my renewal fee is $200 a year. Instead of leasing somebody else's permit for $100 a week.
Now, what was the initial cost?
$400 to enter the lottery, which prior to that I had entered and lost a few times. And when you win the in the lottery, you then have an additional $1,000 to activate the permit.
So essentially, from the start, this particular permit cost you $1,400 out the door to get started.
Yes.
And then with an additional $200 fee.
Per year. My renewal.
So at 52 weeks, $100 a week, essentially this saves you $5,000 a year over the old way, the old rates that were charged.
Yeah, by being a permit holder.
Right. Now, I, having been away from the company for a while, I don't know, as maybe you do, is anybody still getting $100 a week?
Well, when the company quotes a contract, they don't really break it down as to what part of the contract is the permit and which part of the contract is the dispatching.
Well, what about from owners? Are you aware of what any other owners are? Permit owners, I should clarify.
No, I think what is happening where in years past, if a permit holder was leasing through a company, they may have gotten a guarantee – that their permit would be paid for, whether or not the car was rented out to a driver.
Right.
And that's gone away. And I believe at Yellow Cab, they've kicked loose a bunch of permit holders.
Now, I had heard that was going to happen before I left. What do you know about that?
Well, I'm under the impression that the fleet size has reduced from 550 cabs down to 500. And then the 50 would be permit holders, third-party permit holders that leased through the company that were told we no longer
need your permit in the fleet.
Right.
Probably for a variety of reasons, not the least of which they couldn't.
Vacancy rate.
Right. Right, that would be all right. So, again, going back to our pre-Uber days. Now, I know at one point I had 15 county permits. As this is what Joe has. It basically, when it made a difference, these permits leased for less than what we can call a city permit, where the vehicle would be permitted to operate in the city of Fort Lauderdale. The difference was about $75 a week. I paid $90 to $100 a week for the county permit, as opposed to $175, $180 a week for the city permit. Now, those rates have dropped dramatically at this point. And I also know the value of the permits. At one time, I know of permits that were sold for upwards of $150,000 and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't know. I know that... what's his name down at Broward has been paying about $40,000, getting them on the cheap, if mm-hmm. you will.
Yeah, that's the only number that I've heard recently of permits changing hands.
Right.
But there were, I think, a couple of permits that were abandoned.
Yes, six.
So they went back to the county because technically the county is the owner of the permit. I am a permit holder in good standing with the county.
Yes.
And if I don't have a car on the road for more than 90 days, that is a reason why the county can pull back a permit.
Yes, yes. I saw that at the last lottery, that which made no sense to me why to even have a lottery if you've lost six permits, if six permits have been abandoned. Again, this is Broward County now just trying to grab whatever. Actually, they haven't had the lottery yet, I don't believe. They kept postponing it.
I went to many county commission meetings and made speeches and pretty much have given up on paying attention to any of it.
Well, there's no point anymore because if we're gonna get into the Uber thing, remember, we're on statewide regulations now. Local regulations mean nothing anymore.
In our category also?
No, not for taxis, but for the Uber. Mm. So going down to the county commission to yak to our Einsteins there, especially my boy, Chip LaMarca. Chip, all is forgiven. Call. I miss you, buddy.
Well, interestingly, at the same time that they were voting about statewide Uber permits, there was also a liquor license issue going on, and the governor did not sign, vetoed the liquor license bill that would have allowed all big box stores, all supermarkets and Walmarts to sell liquor in the store rather than a separate,
right,
walled off separate. They could have a liquor store but next door and have the permit for that. Liquor license for that.
It could be in store. And right next to the ice cream cones and the inflatable rafts.
Right.
And the coffins.
Look at the shoplifting involved there.
Oh.
And the
maybe it wasn't
the governor vetoed that bill, saying that it would destroy too many small businesses.
Yeah.
and liquor licenses in the state of Florida very much mirror how taxi permits are lotteried out.
Well, sure.
It is by a lottery.
Sure.
It is per county based on population increase.
Right. And also, the more people you have, the more people want to drink and taxi cabs, all that. What you didn't have there, and I don't really know a whole lot about what went on with the liquor license thing, but I can pretty well guess that they didn't have the pockets that a certain ride app had. Because now, instead of having to run up and down the state and pay off every goober in every small town, all they have to do is land in Tallahassee. By the way, the state of Florida was state number 36 to go with statewide regulations. And as I like to point out to people when we discuss this in the car, when I've got some folks and they're interested in the conversation, I like to point out that as of July 1st, Broward County, where we had at least some version of an inspection for these vehicles, that's gone. State of Florida said, no, 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 we don't need to inspect. There's no fees because these rules supersede all the local rules. So where Broward County was collecting about $300,000 a year per year from both Uber and Lyft, that's gone. That's money in Uber and Lyft's pockets. Key West, which wanted no part of Uber, come July 1st, there was nothing they could do. The state law supersedes their rules. So now they're stuck with Uber down there, and they don't want it. I find the most interesting one was over in Collier County, where back in December of 2015, instead of dealing with all this nonsense, they just threw out all the for-hire regulations. Every one of them.
They gave up.
Gave up. They threw it all out, and they said, you want to run a car over here? Fine. All you need is a driver's license. There's no special insurance. They didn't care. So this is the one place now where the Uber and Lyft cars are actually more regulated than the taxis because the taxis have no rules. They have no rules, but I digress. I digress. I know you want to talk about this a little more. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, Joe and I spent a lot of time in the Broward County Commission Hall when our commissioners were doing everything they can to make sure that we were going to go out of business. And Joe invested probably more time into it than I did.
I was taking 2 days off a week.
Right.
Taking off Monday to prepare for Tuesday meetings and probably for 12, 15 weeks.
It dragged on for a very, very long time. Those meetings dragged into the night. There was that one meeting that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. I came home. I watched the end of it from here. But, yeah, so we've both been through it. And now you were asking me, we were discussing this before we came on the air, about the Uber commissions you were asking about.
Oh, the breakdown of the split.
Okay. The split is no longer 75% or 25%.
Is that nationwide or Broward County?
It is nationwide. What Uber has begun to do, and they were doing it quietly, it's legal, it stinks to high heaven. But what they're doing now is they give the customer, the passenger, an upfront price. Now, basically, they're going to charge them as much as they can. Not only are they basing it on distance, and they're going to try and use the longest possible route to justify it, but they're also using where you're being picked up, where you're going.
I heard one factor was the model of phone
that
the Uber customer is calling from to anticipate how much they could squeeze out of a customer.
It would not surprise me. So now what happens? Now, the driver gets paid strictly mileage and time. There is no surge. It'll happen for the customer. It's not going to happen for the driver. Basically, what Uber is saying right now is what the customer pays has nothing to do with what we give you. We're going to pay you X amount. They will show the driver what the customer paid. And in this cockamamie system, there are times, I had one last week where the customer paid $11 and change. I got about $5.20. Uber got the bulk of it, $6 and change. I also had a job that ran $24-something dollars, and they only took $3 for themselves. I don't know where their mindset is.
To keep you off balance.
Clearly, and it's working.
it
Well, it's working.
It's one of my theories that they have to keep the drivers unhappy to perpetuate the churn of drivers. My impression is that more than half of Uber drivers don't last a year because they figure out that it's not worth their time or money.
It is not.
And that's part of how they're going to phase in driverless cars.
Driverless cars aren't coming anytime soon.
Well, that's their stated goal.
That was
whether it happens or not.
That was by the guy who's no longer there.
Well,
Uber went out and picked a fight with Google over self-driving cars. Second of all, even if none of that happened and the technology was there today, you still have regulatory and insurance issues that have to be resolved.
But the government's in favor of driverless cars.
Autonomous to a point.
I think that's all part of how they're letting Uber roll across the country, breaking every law in the book.
That is coming to a halt because the pendulum has swung in the other direction, my friend. You see, like I said, the single biggest thing, you can let everything else go by the wayside. Forget all the gazillion lawsuits that are going on against Uber right now, not only here in the United States, but overseas, where there are at least three countries Travis Kalanick is not allowed to set foot in. He will go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
He will go to jail. But they picked a fight with Google, the Waymo situation.
Yes.
Instead of just settling. Now, anytime Uber goes to court, they're usually the big dog, and they've got the big bat. So when they swing their bat, people flinch. They're going to swing their bat at Google, and Google's going to go, huh? They're not even going to notice. You picked a fight with somebody with much deeper pockets. And Google is an investor in Uber. They have a seat on the board. And Kalanick had barred the Google person from attending meetings. So they
Or speaking. He can sit in the back of the room but not speak.
Is that what it was?
That's the way I read it. But they're also an investor in Lyft now.
Right. So, I mean, they've picked the fight with the wrong company. Plus, they're subsidized. Uber subsidizes every ride. For every dollar they take in, it costs them, I think, $1.50, $2. That's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Well, that's part of my argument about the fake low rate.
Right.
They continue with the fake low rate, knowing that they're losing money on every job. But the fake low rate keeps the drivers off balance and churning in new drivers,
right,
as part of the easy phase-in of driverless cars in the future.
Now, I still disagree with the driverless car thing is not an issue you or I are going to have to contend with in our lifetime. Here's why. Here's the way I see it. When we get to a point where there are fully autonomous vehicles, first off, it's going to take a long time for somebody to pay to get in a car with nobody there and be taken somewhere. But that aside, I think what we're going to see first will be dedicated lanes on interstate highways just for autonomous cars. And there will be years of data collected because the variables are much fewer. You don't have as many things going wrong, because everybody's going in the same direction in a segregated lane.
That's where autonomous cars are, not cars, but trucks. Trucks are already in use in big mines.
Right.
Because the only vehicles in the mine are mine vehicles.
Right.
And the big 400-ton trucks are autonomous.
Yes, but again, it's in a very limited situation now.
Right, because it's segregated.
Right, but now it's a huge leap to everyday traffic.
But that's the goal of every car company.
Yes.
That's developing Audi, Subaru.
No question.
Every car company is developing driverless cars.
That's their goal, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, then I don't know if they're wasting their own money.
No, they're not.
Or if they are being government subsidized.
It's going to happen. It's just not going to happen soon. That's what I'm saying. I firmly believe it'll happen.
Right,
I just don't think you and I will be around to see
but
it.
But my theory is that this is all laying the groundwork.
Of course it is.
For autonomous cars. so that the easy transition, actually the instant customer when driverless cars comes available will be companies like Uber.
Yes, but you also have to keep, you see, first off, you think I'm disagreeing with you. I'm not. I'm just not on the same timetable as you.
Right, but all the damage done today is with that goal in mind.
Yes, absolutely. But it's a long-term goal because even, let's say Ford puts out its first batch of autonomous cars, okay? Not everybody, A, will be able to afford one, B, will want one.
No, every one of them will be bought up by a company like Uber.
Right, but in the meantime, this is going to be a very slow transition, okay? Because I'll be quite honest with you, I'm going to be hesitant about getting into the back of a vehicle with no one driving. There will still be drivers needed. Again, will it happen in time? You better believe it, but not while you and I are walking this God's green earth.
I believe the biggest test area right now, I think, is a business district on one side of Hong Kong.
Okay.
And there's still a technician in the car.
Right.
But what they're doing there is, if you're an Uber customer, you call up that car, your ride is free.
So, well, sure. When they were doing it in what city? Pittsburgh. They had two people up front. But what eventually came out about the Uber cars, the testing in Pittsburgh, was that the vehicles were unable to go much more than a mile before human intervention, basically saying they're not close to being prepared. And again, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's going to happen. But here's more to the point. When I was a small child in the 1960s, I was promised flying cars and jetpacks.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, I want my jetpack.
Well, that's...
That was by the year 2000, Skippy. Where's
right,
that?
Right on the same path alongside driverless cars are flying driverless
right. But
cars.
Let's back it up a little bit, because this is what Travis Kalanick was focused on. Instead of focusing on running that business to be profitable, I understand he had his little mind games going on, but he caught lightning in a bottle. He had Tiger by the tail. He could have maintained rates at a reasonable level had he played fair and still walked away with billions of dollars. Instead, he pissed away billions of dollars on these flying cars and these autonomous cars. Screw it. Let Ford develop them. Let GM develop them. Why are you tossing this money away? And that's what he did. He tossed billions and billions of dollars away. And to what? Look, Uber's not going to be around in about a year. They're just not going to make it. Right now, you've got nobody running it. It's being run by committee. If Uber was the love boat, Isaac the bartender would be steering the ship right now.
Mm-hmm.
with Vicky in the bullpen warming up. Everybody's gone. One thing I did see recently, which was very funny, an article or a tweet, somebody said, why isn't somebody talking to the person in charge of human resources at Uber? Because clearly they're hiring all these losers.
Well, they were doing their good old boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, were they? 720-820-1203. Give us a call. Join the conversation. 720-820-1203. We are live here in fabulous Fort Lauderdale tonight. I have Joe Smith sitting across from me trying to discuss with me the fact that I am wrong about something. And we all know how that's going to go, kids. So, Joe, talk to me about the cab business right now. It's been 6 months since I've been behind the wheel of something with a meter.
Well, it's picking and scratching. I consider that my... bookings are $100 less a day on the Uber effect.
And that is significant.
There are many times where I sit outside of a nightclub and see a ratio of 10 to 20, up to 20 to 1 ratio of Uber pickup drop-off to one cab pickup drop-off.
Right.
And It's not fun to sit there watching that happen. And not to say, and I still say that the cab business should have been doing a better job all the way and should have improved a whole lot quicker than when they were introduced to the Uber future. It's better now, better service, cleaner cars, more technology.
I thought we were always doing a fine job as far as the cars went.
Well, there's definitely times when I'll see a car on the road and say, well, that car's got no business being on the road that dirty.
Oh, well, yeah, we all have those days. I mean,
the the concept of you don't have to clean your car every day, but it has to be clean every day.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you only clean your car the hour before you go to inspection.
Right. No, of course not. You clean out the back seat. You get all the trash out, et cetera, et cetera, at the gas station or as need be. Oh, you don't have to explain
whether
it to
me. Whether it's three times a day if necessary.
Right. I think the bigger problem with the cab industry is the fact that, and I tell this to a lot of people who will, of course, people have misinformation about everything in life. If they're not actively involved in it, they only know what they think they know. I hear on an almost daily basis, well, Yellow Cab should get an app. Well, not only do they have an app, which is pretty good, they had an app before Uber existed. Granted, it wasn't the greatest app in the world and had by far and away the worst name ever, but it was there. And it did work, although nobody was interested in using it. Now, that being said, there are the big single advantage that Uber and Lyft have is that you can pull those apps out anywhere in the country and use them.
Right, and one of my arguments is that if yellow cab companies all over the country had gotten together on a unified dispatch and booking system, they would have been accused of monopoly.
That's right.
And they would have been sued and broken up. And
well, there is no yellow cab nationwide.
No, all the different. If all the different yellow cab companies across the country.
No, you just mean taxi companies.
Yes. Yeah, all the.
Yellow cab is just the name that the first guy in town grabs. It's not a franchise.
Right, but they were all yellow cab. They're all called yellow.
Oh yeah,
yellow
well,
cab.
I see what you're
almost
saying.
Almost every city you go to, there is
cab.
A yellow
Absolutely.
Cab company.
Absolutely.
And I disagree with you that there is a history of the yellow cab company that started in
Chicago.
And
you know who
and
it was?
And sold John J. Hertz.
That's right. The very same person you're trying to collect money from.
and that he sold the business model around the country just like
right, but the yellow cab name
the Colonel did with KFC.
But the yellow cab name is not a franchise. It's not a franchise. Contrary to popular belief, it is not. It is literally the first guy in town that wanted to use the name Yellow Cab, boom, got to use the name Yellow
and
Cab.
And they didn't pay anything to Chicago?
There was nothing to pay. That's why you have Yellow Cab all over the place, and they're completely unrelated. Oh, sure, you'll have a couple of outfits here and there. But that's we're straying away from the point I was trying to get to. So since cab companies don't have a national app.
And they could.
Well, here's the problem. You've got certain people in the industry who are all for a single national app, as long as it's their app. They don't want to use somebody else's stuff. They want to use their own. They want to be in charge. And I know there's more than one person like that in this country. I know where one works. And because I've had the conversation with him, and he wants to take over the world, literally wants to do worldwide dispatching, to which my response was, how about getting Broward County down first? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's another problem, is that the same problems drivers have been going on about for literally decades have still not been resolved. What good does it do if your call takers can't answer the phone? Or are saying things that just are flat out untrue. And
well, that goes back to a basic point about computer dispatching. in our company. When I started driving, computer dispatching was already in effect. Right. I never worked with voice radio dispatching.
You missed a lot, but my friend.
The my main point about transferring or transitioning to computer dispatch, to me it seems like our company never correctly programmed the computer to mimic a human dispatcher.
Do you ever hear the story about the first day? Did I ever tell you the story?
I might have heard it.
I'll tell you the story now. So I was working nights at the time, and I heard this from my day driver. So without going into all the details, all the cabs here in Broward County had the first series of MDT, mobile data terminals. But in the city of Fort Lauderdale was still on voice dispatch. The rest of Broward County was being dispatched over the computer. Now, the morning dispatcher went off, I think it was 2 p.m. or 3 p.m., one of the two. So my day driver is sitting on a cab stand, a radio stand, with another driver. So the dispatcher goes off at 2 o'clock like he does every day. Silence. Well, it took about 40 minutes for them to realize, holy crap, they called down to the office, and, they had turned on the computers. Yellow Cab never announced it. Instead of the guy saying the very last words out of his mouth should have been, by the way, attention to the fleet, fire up your computers, sign in.
In the city,
all over. We're going, never said a word. On top of that, they had not given us zone maps. The zone maps did not have the city's zone numbers on them.
Typical Yellow Cab.
They refused to give us the zone numbers. Heaven forbid we should have learned something. So there was this mad rush to get zone maps, because at the time nobody knew where anything was, any of the zone numbers. So yes, this was Yellow Cab at their ultimate finest. A system that none of the drivers wanted at the time. But instead of the just common sense, boys and girls, turn off your radio, turn on your computer. They couldn't be bothered doing that much. And that was February 26, 1988. I remember the date because that's my brother's birthday. And it has not gotten much better since.
Right, so I probably started driving about 2 years after that, just after Hurricane Andrew. And so I did not have the voice dispatch experience, never drove a cab before that. I did scan other companies for a while,
mm-hmm.
just out of interest. I wasn't into stealing jobs or anything.
I was.
I was just interested in seeing how it worked.
Right.
So... Ocean's 11
mm-hmm.
on the border of Hollywood and Hallandale.
Absolutely.
So they would dispatch a cab either to the front door or the back door.
Right.
And to me, those are the kinds of things that a human dispatcher does. A call taker who probably used to be a cab driver and no longer could drive is in the office taking those calls.
Or that was usually our dispatchers.
And does not let the customer off the phone until the answers are completed. So in a situation like Sands Harbor Hotel in Pompano might have 5 different pickup points.
Exactly. Holy Cross Hospital.
So you don't let the customer off the phone until all the correct information has been filled in.
Well, bear this in mind too, Joe. You have to remember the time, okay? There were no cell phones. When somebody called the cab company, they did it from a landline.
So all the more important to get the correct info.
But these people weren't going anywhere, okay? As often as not, you knew who the person calling was. We were a smaller company at the time as well. So it was a lot of this. Oh, hey, it's Phil over at, Phil, we'll get somebody right over to you. You know.
Oh, sure.
You know,
regular customers like that.
Regular customers, absolutely. And... We again, with no cell phones, you knew where people were going to be. One of the big things, again, having that filter as of a dispatcher who was a driver, who was aware of, was that you did not chase bad addresses often. You did not chase somebody's callback.
You're not going to get dispatched into 4000 East Hillsborough Boulevard.
Exactly.
Why not?
Exactly. Because that's in the ocean, my friend.
Right. And a cab driver or a call taker, dispatcher with cab driver knowledge knows that without asking.
That never makes it to the air.
And you wouldn't let the customer off the phone until
The call takers,
you pried the correct information out of the customer.
The call takers may let it go because they usually weren't drivers. It was literally the girls. It was girls back there. Say what you will, but that's what it was. And they did a good job. They did a very good job. But when it got to the dispatcher, now we're sitting here, I'm holding up a Post-it note. This is what we used. Mm-hmm. It was basically something this size. They were different colors. And I did a little bit of dispatching. Just a little bit. I loved it. But let's say you called in from the hotline on the Marriott Harbor Beach Resort. Well, Marriott was MX. And if I would write MXHB and send it down the line to the dispatcher. Oh, Marriott Harbor Beach. We don't need a name or anything like that. It's at the door. Now, what a good dispatcher would do is you get this situation. The Harbor Beach Marriott just called. The call taker would tell them, and they need 10 cars. Nowadays, we will send probably 15 cars up there. Back in the day, it went like this. Car on the Harbor Beach, because there was a cab stand there, a radio stand. There should be no answer. And car on the Yankee Clipper, which was the next stand. 960. Go to the Harbor Beach. Let me know what's going on. Without giving it away. He's not going to go and try to dig up 10 cars when he only needs 3. And we had that kind of filter, and we missed that kind of filter. And I've always held that there should be a hybrid. You can use the database of the system. Friendly Checker did that for a little. I don't know what they're doing anymore. But they used the old call system to call cabs on the radio, but they would send the calls via text message.
Yeah, when I would listen to them, it was bid from the stand.
Coming at you.
Driver on the stand would be told head north or south, and
it's coming your
way.
The
job information would come to his beeper.
And that's what the dispatcher would say, coming your way.
And
coming your way.
That was a good use of the hybrid system.
I thought it was an ideal use, but yellow cab's never going to go for that. 720-820-1203, 720-820-1203. If you're listening to us live, join the conversation. If you're listening to the replay, you can call, but I ain't going to answer. I'm here with Joe Smith, owner-operator extraordinaire here in Broward County in the Yellow Cab Fleet. So anyway, Joe, what else was it you were bringing up to me earlier? See, this is why I should keep notes.
We talked about the how Uber cuts up their rate now.
Did I not talk about that a little earlier?
Yes, you did.
I did. Okay.
That was one of the
commission.
Things I thought you were.
Yeah, into the microphone, please.
That you were planning on talking about. I think we already covered that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to get too deep into it, but. It does bear repeating. Uber's screwing everybody now, whether you're a customer or a driver. It doesn't much matter. And you may not have heard me say this lately, Joe, but Uber is an evil corporation. I've yet to have anybody disagree with that, especially the customers. Lyft, however, is just plain old crooked. Look at Lyft like this. They're the guy, the neighborhood thug, that hands out turkeys on Thanksgiving, but is breaking into your car the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who Lyft is. They're not absolutely clean in this situation.
I'm still under the sneaking suspicion that Uber and Lyft are Siamese twins, not so much competitors, because
I thought that for a long time.
They enter into new cities on the same week, and something about a principle in the law where you don't change the law to accommodate a single company, but you can change the law to accommodate a new industry. So Uber needed a second banana to come along with them to combat laws.
Yes.
In new cities. And that's why I think they're actually Siamese twins.
I don't disagree. And for anybody that's not catching on to what Joe's saying, and it's a theory that's out there, been out there for a long time, that Uber actually owns Lyft or vice versa. And Uber pisses off a lot of people, but they have Lyft there to pick up the overflow. And they're going to basically, their thinking would be under this situation, it doesn't matter. We'll get your money one way or the other. I thought that way for a long time. I wouldn't have been surprised. I still wouldn't be surprised if it turned out to be true. But just something, I just don't think it is. I think the Lyft guys are just sitting there, just biding their time. Because they know when Uber finally goes under, and it will go under, that they're going to be sitting pretty to scoop up a good chunk of the work. They're not going to be able to handle it all, but they will get it. But yeah, no, I don't entirely disagree with that, with that concept of how did you call it?
Oh, Siamese twins.
Siamese twins. Yeah. So all right. So what was I saying? What have you been hearing out there? As far as from other drivers?
Well, I'm completely under the impression that it's only going to get worse for us. I'm hanging in there because I have low expenses. I don't need much. And I can hang in there. My contract is pretty low. I can still scratch out a number of fares plus tips per shift, but it's to the point where it's a no gravy situation.
Right.
I got no problems paying my bills, but my personal bills are not very high, and I'm in a pretty good situation with my home life and not too many. I have no bad vices.
No.
I don't have expensive vices. And I can still save a little bit of money, but it's not gravy money.
I hear you. By the way, you're now involved in my single vice. Radio TFI.
Okay.
It's my only vice anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, I think for the cab side of it, obviously if Uber goes under, that bodes well for you guys, at least temporarily.
There will, but we won't be prepared for it.
Mm.
People might call us, but we won't be able to handle it if Uber was to all of a sudden go under. They just pulled out of Macau.
I just saw that. I didn't read anything about it.
But that's the same game plan where they pulled out of Broward County, and then they're going to rally
their customers
bombard their local government with complaints, you know.
And it's very effective what they do, because they get people believing. To this day, people still believe, and I'll hear
Broward County threw Uber out.
Somebody threw them out. No, it's
Uber
never happened.
Shuts themselves down as part of the game plan. It's been done repeated all over the country, all over the world. And it only works with the cooperation of the local government, because if I open up a gas station and I have not followed any of the laws related to that industry, and I open up on day one, on day two, I will be shut down.
That's right.
And I have this.
What's the other? I like your other analogy about low gas prices. Tell that one.
Well, if I was to go to the Broward County Commission right now and say, well, I have this concept. I want to open gas stations. I'm only going to charge $1 a gallon for gas. Little catch to the situation is you need to let me break every law in the book, because I can't do a dollar a gallon gas unless I can get a sidestep all of the regulations. If Broward County lets me operate for a year not following the law, now the public feels entitled to that dollar a gallon gas that I've been selling them to for a year. And of course they're going to bombard the commission if after a year now all of a sudden their dollar a gallon gas goes away. And it's a complete, it's a direct comparison to Uber. What they allowed Uber to do, they allowed Uber to operate an entire year, 100% illegal. Every Uber pickup was eligible for $500 in fines, but Broward County only wrote 3 tickets per day on average. That is my proof that the Broward County Commission conspired to allow Uber to operate with minimal interruption to build the fan base.
Oh, there's no question. I think that the day that Mark Bogan brought all the amendments in and freely admitted up on the dais that not only had he not read any of them, but they were handed to him by Uber. I think that pretty much solved that little mystery,
right,
of whether or not who was in bed with who. So, you know, we know for a fact, as much as we can know this, that it was Mark Bogan and Chip LaMarca.
Cheerleaders.
Clearly. Well, Chip was the biggest cheerleader. But clearly, these guys walked home. Chip's house was paid off, I understand.
Yeah, I never heard the resolution of that question brought up by, there was an article.
Yeah, $400,000 in the hole, and that seemed to go away. I don't know. Could be me. Maybe, maybe I'm just an evil, evil person.
Right, a little brown bag action.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? And so we know they also had Beam Fur and Marty Keir running around like Uber had the innovation buzzword in their head. And of course, as we all know, Beam Fur was the first person to use Uber Pool here in Broward County. And they advertised it. Oh, and they also advertised Uber's new logo.
Right, in the Twitter feed.
Right, when Uber got their new logo, the Broward County Commission advertised it on their Twitter feed. Now, they've never done that for any other company before or since, but they felt that Uber was special enough. Well, I guess when Uber's paying all that money, they should get something something for their money.
Well, Nate, I don't know. I don't think many people realize that Uber, in their first 2 or 3 years of existence, followed the law. And Kalanick criticized Lyft.
Right. Lyft started all this.
Lyft started the recruiting, partnering with people in private cars, which
right.
is also called Gypsy Cab or Bandit Cab. Just like if I was double booked with regular customers and I sent my sister in her car to pick up one of my customers and charge them to go to the airport. Now I've broken 3 laws because her car and her as a driver is not properly licensed to be in the business of transporting people.
This is
without.
I'm going to interrupt you 1 second because this is what I used to go on and on to my guys about. Their cab would be down. Oh, I'm going to take this guy in my personal car. And I would say, man, you're taking a big chance, because what if something happens? Oh, I've known him for years. Yeah, he's your pal until something happens. And this is exactly what it, but you're right. You're right. Lyft started all this. Kalanick was doing, Uber was just limousines and legit licensed vehicles.
Correct. You went on the app the same way you would today, but the car that showed up was legally licensed.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a black car. And
they could have been held to that standard entering Broward County. But Broward County Commission fell into the, or agreed with the argument that it doesn't fit our business model. Well, guess what? Your business model is illegal. So don't tell me about business model if your business model breaks every law in the book.
Well, what's his name? What was the other commissioner? He used to say it every time this came up. The guy from Lauderhill. I can't think of his name. It's a you needed a license to cut hair in Broward County.
Sure.
You know,
and it's my big analogy for a lot of this is you know, when you, the difference between carrying pizzas or people.
Right. Explain that.
When a car delivers flowers or pizzas, there's little or no regulations. When a car delivers people, there's a higher standard required on the driver, car, and insurance. Local laws vary, but worldwide, this concept is universal. A good corporate citizen, which Uber is not, would learn the local law and comply, not ignore the law and expect governments to change the law while breaking the law.
We don't like your law, hence we don't need to follow it.
Ride sharing is not a new invention. It's a lie, where companies have just changed the name of an illegal activity, rebranded it with a new name, and then call it a business model. The gypsy cab or bandit cab is any vehicle acting as a vehicle for hire without proper license. Ride sharing is being used as a pretense of something new, so they can claim regulations don't apply, but I assert that picking up people for transport and getting paid is vehicle for hire and always should have been subject to the existing law. Their method of dispatch, or how a driver is introduced to a ride requesting passenger, is of no concern. What does matter is when a vehicle shows up to engage in this business transaction, all local laws have been respected. Why would you do that? Well, over time, lessons have been learned the hard way and result in regulations to avoid negative outcomes already seen in the past, like criminals killing somebody, raping somebody.
Background checks
that should be completed before you contact the customer, all that kind of stuff.
You mean like the Broward County hag license, but that both you and I have in our wallets right now?
Right, and an Uber driver can, on within hours of signing up online, can contact customers, transport them, and then if their background check through Uber, not through the county, if their background check through Uber is a declined 5 or 10 days later, then they shut off the app of the driver, and he can no longer contact customers. But by then, he might have contacted 100 customers.
That's right.
And he's still got a car with an Uber decal on it, and he can go and sit out in front of clubs and, you know, pick off the weak and drunk young ladies that he finds attractive.
Are you my Uber? Come on, honey, get in the car.
Right. So it's that was one of the more absurd parts of the Broward County ordinance.
Oh, yeah.
That allowed, they agreed to that. When they turned our law upside down, that's 14 months after Uber entered Broward County, and they turned the law upside down to give Uber everything they wanted.
What I really enjoyed, one of the things I truly enjoyed during that entire process was the day that the Uber folks got up in front of the county and with a straight face went on about how their internet-based background checks were better than fingerprinting and the FBI background checks. And not only did they do it with a straight face, but our commissioners sat there and lapped it up like children eating ice cream. There was, you could not, for those interested, Joe and I both spent many, many a day at many, many a commission meeting. We got up and we spoke. Of all the people that spoke on the taxi side, on the we're not breaking the law side, at no time, not once, did anyone say a disparaging word about Uber, their drivers, their vehicles, or their customers. We got up and spoke to the truth and to the law. Meanwhile, every time an Uber driver, passenger, employee got up, it was talk of dirty, smelly cab drivers. I got so tired of hearing dirty, smelly. I had to walk out of the chamber one day. I just couldn't stand it anymore. I know it was all a bunch of baloney, but people believe what they hear. And when they say it enough times, they begin to believe it's true. And, you know, we fought the good fight. I am in no way, shape, or form disappointed at the fight that we put up. But we were up against county commissioners whose minds were made up, whose payments had been made, and it just wasn't going to happen.
But the fix was in.
Exactly.
And the I had a concept that I shared with higher-ups at Yellow Cab that I put a lot of the blame on the higher-ups in the company and the TLPA, the taxi.
Oh, those nitwits.
Trade Association, Taxi Limousine, Paratransit Association.
Yeah, yes.
And if they really wanted to do something about this, I think they should have been preempting, going in front of Uber as they entered new territories. And what I would like to see is, say, before they came to Broward County, say 6 months. And it's not like the TLPA didn't know about it.
Goodbye.
That they could go to a company like our company prior to Uber arriving and have our company propose a system where they would say to our regulators, sometimes we don't get to our customers quick enough. And there's far-flung areas of the county that it's very hard for us to cover a call in less than 30 minutes. So how about if we have a subgroup of vehicles, not necessarily taxi cabs, not marked up, not decaled.
I suggested the same thing.
Not decaled as a taxi cab, but they would be casual subcontractors that would be offered jobs that we weren't getting to in our regular permitted vehicles. And then you would get the regulators on record as saying, what, are you crazy? We would never
allow that.
We would never consider that. That's the stupidest idea I ever heard. Okay, so then that's the desired result. So you go back to your office and then wait for Uber to arrive. And when Uber starts operating, you go back to the regulators and remind them how absurd that idea was when I was proposing it. And that's something that I think the TLPA should have been doing over and over, preempting Uber's expansion into new territories.
The TLPA is pointless anymore. They are pointless. And we don't have enough time to get into just how pointless they are. But suffice it to say, yes, you're right. They could have stepped in a lot sooner. But just like everybody else in the taxi business, you know as well as I do, Joe, you're lucky to get three guys to agree where to go have a cup of coffee, let alone band together. And companies are much worse. As I said earlier, everybody wants a nationwide app as long as it's theirs. You're not going to see companies band together. It's just not going to happen. Our regulations, our history, the way things are done in our business. Uber is a nationwide company. Again, they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. It'll be an easier fight once it's down to little guys like Lyft and whoever else comes in to fill the void. I've said a long time ago, whoever can make it to October of 2018, no matter how bloodied and battled, everybody will be stronger for it. That, my friend, you can get your last word in.
Well, thanks for having me in.
Thank you for being here. We enjoyed it immensely. Hopefully we'll have you back again. I may be doing a group thing here soon, have four or five guys, and we'll talk about whatever it is we talk about. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We're gonna move on out now. We will see you again on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, and stupid o'clock Pacific time. John Shannon and I will be talking about whatever it is John Shannon and I talk about. We always start out with a list of things, but we never get there. Anyway, I'm Ed. We've had a good night. Thanks a lot, folks. See ya!